Hare Krishna. So let us start with the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It is titled as Dhyana Yoga. It is also called as Ashtanga Yoga. And it can also be called as Hatha Yoga. Let's understand the connection between the two chapters now. Chapter 5 and Chapter 6. So in Chapter 5, in Shlokas 27 and 28, Krishna summarized Ashtanga Yoga. Where he is saying, Sparshan Kritva Bahir Bhayams. That's how it started, the shloka. Where he is saying that shutting out all external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision in between the two eyebrows, and so many things he has told after that regarding breathing and other things. So he said all this. Suddenly, when Nishkama Karma Yoga section was going on, Krishna is talking about Ashtanga Yoga. Basically, Krishna tried telling Arjuna that the liberation that the person gets by practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, one can get the same result by practicing Ashtanga Yoga. That's what he wanted to put forward to Arjuna. And now, Krishna is elaborating these two verses in the entire chapter, chapter number 6, that is Dhyana Yoga. So let's see this chapter in detail. One thing that we will do in this chapter while studying is, we'll study this Ashtanga Yoga very nicely. Firstly, we are not supposed to practice that because we are bhakti yogis, you know, we are practicing devotional service. But we will try to understand Ashtanga Yoga in detail so that we understand how difficult it is to practice Ashtanga Yoga. And each and every shloka, we will try to understand that how bhakti yoga is much better and much practical than the Ashtanga Yoga that is given. So let's take up the first verse and start. Shloka number 1. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Anashritaha Karma Phalam Karyam Karma Karotiyaha Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cha Na Niragnir Na Chakriyaha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Lord Shri Krishna spoke. What he spoke? Anashritaha Karma Phalam. Anashritaha. One who does not take shelter of, or one who is detached from Karma Phalam, that is fruits of one's work. Karyam karma karotiyaha, who works as he is obligated. Such a person, he can be called as sannyasi and he can also be called as a true yogi. Not the ones, na niragnir, the ones who don't lit fire, na chakriyaha, performs no duty. So basically here Krishna is talking about those people cannot be called as sannyasis and true yogis who are actually not doing their prescribed duties. That is what is the point that he has made here. So here Krishna is saying, the sannyasi, here in the purport Prabhupada is given, the sannyasi sometimes artificially think that they have become liberated from all material duties. And therefore they cease to perform Agnihotra Yagyas. So Agnihotra Yagyas is basically a prescribed duty that is given for purification. But actually they are self-interested because their goal is to become one with the impersonal Brahman. So these sannyasis, the sannyasis whom Krishna is talking about, they are not free from the desire. They have a desire. And this desire is not a selfless desire. It's a selfish desire, a self-interested desire. And this desire is about merging or to become one with Brahman or Supreme. So they are not selfless. Means still contamination is there in the heart. Now to be an actual sannyasi or to be a true yogi, one should understand that one's heart should be purified. One's heart should be purified one's heart should be purified and should have the detachment. Detachment to what? The fruits of action. And also, to be a proper yogi, one should be detached, from the tendency of enjoying the sense objects. If this is not there, if the heart is not purified, then such people, even if they take up this order of sannyas, or even if they're practicing yoga, this process that we're discussing, it will not be of any benefit for sure. So here we understand the hearts are contaminated, so what is the use of it? Not just this, a yogi also. A mystic yogi who practices yoga system with half open eyes, ceasing all material activities, desires some satisfaction for his personal self. What does he desire? He wants a mystic power. He wants a mystic power for his own self-interest. So how can such people be termed as sannyasis and yogis. Regarding Ashtanga Yoga, it's in the age of Kali Yuga, it's very difficult for anyone to practice Ashtanga Yoga. Anyways, we'll see in the future verses how difficult it is to practice Ashtanga Yoga. So Krishna here is emphasizing on the process of Karma Yoga and devotional service. Because there is no point in thinking about doing something impractical like Ashtanga Yoga. So Krishna is saying do Karma Yoga, but better than that is Bhakti Yoga. Now that is very, very simple. So in this world it is given that everyone is working for some self-interest. It's not that people are selfless. Everyone is working for some self-interest. For some personal sense gratification, be it concentrated or extended. So this point is very important to understand that everyone has got some self-interest. No one is purified as such. But then one nice thing is there, that to act in Krishna consciousness is the duty of every living entity, because all are constitutionally parts and parcels of the Supreme. Now, when we start acting in Krishna consciousness, actually hearts will become purified completely. And this is not optional. Practicing bhakti is not optional. Practicing bhakti is mandatory. Why? Because each and everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. And bhakti is what? Serving the whole. The part and parcels have to serve the whole. That is the bhakti process. So it's not optional, it's mandatory for each and every person. And the example given is, the parts of the body work for the satisfaction of the whole body. The limbs of the body do not act for self-satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the complete whole. Another nice point that is given is, the living entity who acts for satisfaction of the supreme whole and not for personal satisfaction is perfect sannyasi, the perfect yogi. Now this makes a lot of sense. Who is a true renunciant? The one who does not have any self-interest, but he is doing it selflessly. And such a selfless person can be called as a sannyasi or a true yogi. A Krishna conscious person has no desire for self-satisfaction. His criteria of success is satisfaction of Krishna, and thus he is a perfect sannyasi or a perfect yogi. So this is a very nice point to meditate on. A Krishna conscious person just wants to give pleasure to Krishna. He is not very much interested in seeking pleasure for himself. So such a person who is detached from seeking pleasure for one's own self can actually be called as a true sannyasi and a true yogi. Now what Krishna is going to do from shloka number 2 onwards is, he's going to compare sannyas and yoga. And he'll actually tell us in detail what are these two. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna.